Welcome to Gal Pals Watch. I'm Alicia.
I'm Sarah.
And this is a podcast where we talk about queer lady films inclusively defined.
Yep. It only took us 2 years, but we got a tagline.
Dab. And today we're talking about Wild Nights with Emily.
We are.
I have been so excited for this movie. Actually, ever since we did Codependent Lesbian Space Alien Seek Same, because that whole team followed our Instagram and was like, dude, we're working on this awesome project. And it was this.
This movie's so good.
So the director is Madeline Olnick, who also directed Codependent Lesbian Space Alien Seek Same.
I had actually forgotten about that. And so I was watching this movie and I was like, man, this movie's so weird and good. And then I think, oh, it was when I looked at the Wikipedia page. I was like, oh, yeah,
it's the same. All makes sense.
Yeah.
They got a killer cast, too. Yeah. Some of the actors are similar. They were also in Codependent.
Who was? I know Molly Shannon wasn't.
Molly Shannon was not. But I believe Susan Ziegler was.
Did she play Sue?
She played... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the maid, of course. They had a very small role. But very funny. I liked how, you know, kind of offbeat this movie was.
Yeah. It worked so well.
It really did.
And Molly Shannon was just perfect as Emily Dickinson.
It's true. And I didn't know much about Emily Dickinson going into this.
Me either.
I knew that she had been basically straight-washed.
Yeah, totally.
Is there a good way to put that? What is it?
No, I think that's
straight-laced? No.
Yeah.
But essentially, you know, straightened.
Yeah.
History.
And she also is painted as, like, this, this, like, spinster recluse who just was, like, really weird and lonesome and, like, mentally ill and all this stuff. That, I mean, who's not mentally ill, but, like,
aggressively she, so.
Yeah.
Like, she was.
But I don't know.
Portrayed anyway.
Yeah. I think she's kind of seen as, like, this strange spinster figure.
Yeah.
Like, generally.
But, so the movie is basically, like, a biography-ish type, fictionalized biography. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's, I know it's kind of backwards to say that, but, it's kind of like, it takes Emily's life, but also Mabel, her editor, and basically how Mabel edited all of her poems.
Yeah.
And I feel like the reason why, as a society, we believe that Emily Dickinson was this, you know, recluse poet, lonely figure, was because of Mabel.
Yeah. It definitely, I mean, according to this movie, that's why.
Yeah.
Mabel sucked.
Plain and simple. Yeah, I mean, she was Emily Dickinson, at least from this film, from what I gathered, was she liked her personal time for sure, but she was
can relate.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah,
but she was not lonely.
No, and she engaged with lots of people. Like, she had her close friends.
Yeah.
She also was, like, you know, she had her lovers.
Yeah, for real.
And she, like, according to this movie, would, like, give kids, like, you know, whatever she was baking
treats.
Or whatever. Yeah, they'd
so
come
cute.
To her window and she'd, like, give them muffins.
Which is,
you
know, so,
like,
cute.
A cute little, not in a weird, creepy way, just in, like, a cute way.
Yeah, it's in a little basket.
Yeah.
Put it down. So cute.
It was so cute.
Something out of, like, Snow White.
I know. Yeah. And she did leave the house.
Yes. Just not, like,
actually,
very often.
That was one of the things that I found very funny in this movie, was that Mabel and... So Sue was Emily's best friend growing up.
Yeah.
The way it's portrayed in this movie and also in that Apple TV show, Emily... Or no, it's called Dickinson.
Okay.
The one with Hailee Steinfeld that I tried to watch and I just, like...
Is she playing Emily Dickinson?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think she's a good actor, but yeah. I did not like that show. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. the way it's portrayed is that Emily and Sue fell in love when they were young.
Yeah.
And then Sue married Emily's brother, Austin, ostensibly to, like, be close to Emily so that they would, like, be able to just get away with their intimate relationship.
Yeah.
Very easily. And, you know, it worked out. But where was I going with that? What was I talking about before that? Oh, right. So Austin and Mabel ended up having an affair. And yes. I really liked that this movie, like, gave as a major reason why Emily never left her room the fact that Austin and Mabel were, like, fucking downstairs and she heard it and she didn't want to, like,
yeah,
go downstairs. Right? So she just stayed in her room.
Because, like, eventually...
And everyone's like, why won't you leave your room? And she's like,
I wonder why. It's just a little awkward.
No reason.
It's a little awkward downstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, oh gosh. Mabel was essentially like, so she was her editor eventually. Not with Emily's permission.
Right.
By
posthumous
the by.
Editor. Posthumous. Self-appointed.
Yes.
She was weird because she, like, wanted in to the Dickinson house. She had this fixation on Emily.
She really did.
And she was, like, hired to be a piano player.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Which is so weird.
And that's why she, like, it was, like, a piano player for Emily.
Right. But then she would never see Emily. Like, she showed up for her first day of work. And the maid, now I remember.
Yeah.
showed her the piano and was like, okay, can start playing. And Mabel's like, well, where's Emily? And the maid was like, oh, she's upstairs. She can hear you from up there. You won't be seeing her. And she was so disappointed. It just was weird. Like, she really wanted to be, like, close to Emily, but
yeah,
it was
right.
really unclear why.
She had a super fixation.
Yeah, because it didn't seem like she had a crush on her or anything.
No, it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
But she definitely liked her brother.
Yeah.
The other part that I really loved about this is, you know, Sue and Emily fall in love as teenagers, mm-hmm. and I liked when either one of their parents would go away, essentially. They would have, like, a house party.
Yeah.
But just the two of them.
Yeah.
And they would just basically, you know, do it.
Yeah. They had a great gay time together.
But one of the thing that I also loved was that she was so forthcoming with her love mm-hmm. to Susan in her poetry,
mm-hmm.
which we wouldn't know today.
Right.
Or rather, we do know today, but we wouldn't know.
If Mabel had anything to do with it, we wouldn't know. She erased Sue's name.
Yes. So she would write things like Sue Forevermore, or she even would say Susan in her poetry, and that had literally been erased from history.
Yeah.
But I thought it was so funny.
Was it Sue's daughter who found... Yeah.
Yeah.
Or no, Lavinia found some stuff. That was Emily's sister.
Yeah, so Emily's sister Lavinia found stuff. I don't think she did anything with it necessarily. No. Like, didn't alter it, I mean. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Sue's daughter, Martha.
Who I also love.
Like, what a shero.
Yeah.
Hero, whatever.
Yeah. They-ro.
They-ro. Oh, just hero. Okay. truly, like, I wish I were that brave and, you know, full of integrity.
Yeah.
Not
well,
that
she's
I'm not,
so
but...
Well, you are. But Martha, it was Martha, right?
Yeah.
She saw that Emily and her mom were in love, and it didn't seem to bother her at all. In fact, she... was inspired by it.
Yeah. She even, you know, they were trying to, the women are trying to, like, keep it on the down low, not be overt about it. But, you know, the kids would come home early or something like that. And Susan would try to hide Emily. And Martha would just say hi to Auntie Emily for me or something like that. And they'd be like, oh, fuck. But it's like, she clearly didn't care. It didn't affect her in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
She was definitely their, like, number one advocate.
Yeah. And then later, she, like, lectured about it.
Yes. She made sure to keep both of them alive mm-hmm. in the real history and the real story. Yeah. Yeah, in general, I loved how the real... what is it? The real poems were put on the screen mm-hmm. or, like, there were voiceovers, things like that.
Yeah, some of it was really artistically done because... Yeah. So there was text on the bottom of the screen when there would be snippets of poems or entire poems. And then a lot of times they were being spoken aloud, mostly mm-hmm. by Emily.
Yeah.
But then there were times where the text was on the screen, but it wasn't being spoken aloud, like yeah. Emily in the garden. Yes. And then there was that whole scene where she was like in a tomb with a black man. And it was like about death and like, America.
Yeah.
And it was just really, really interesting, really well done, I thought.
Yeah. There were some parts that were extremely, like, artsy and a little mm-hmm. different, mm-hmm. but it somehow all came together.
Totally. It wasn't in a way that it was like, look how highbrow we are. Yeah. It was just kind of like, Emily was, like, weird, and this is also weird, but, like, in a cool way.
Yeah. At first, I was really thrown off by, you know, the modern accents. They don't try to change their right. voices.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit more of an anachronistic type of speaking cadence, mm-hmm. I guess.
I kind of liked that.
Yeah, I did, too. Mm-hmm. And there's no, like, you know, Boston accent or whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like now they would have had, like, pretend you're Matt Damon, go.
Yeah.
And it's a little distracting, but it also played into the comedy part mm-hmm. of it really well. They somehow, I don't, like, I'm just amazed with how they handled the comedy and seriousness of it all.
I agree. I thought it was an excellent balance. Yeah. And the comedy was so funny. It was like...
It was so subtle, too.
It was so subtle. And I just cackled. I cackled alone in my apartment. Just like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
It's like...
A lot of the humor, too, was about, like, male mediocrity.
Yes.
Where it's just, like, these men, and then the women are just, like, rolling their eyes at each other.
Oh, my God. Speaking of male mediocrity, Higginson.
Oh, my God. The fucking worst.
So, Higginson.
He's that guy.
Yeah. He's, like, the epitome.
Yeah.
What is he, a publisher?
Yeah, he editor? Had a paper or something. I don't know.
Basically, he publishes poets.
Right.
But he has a meeting with Emily.
Yeah, she tried really hard to get her poems published.
Yeah, she tried really hard.
Yeah.
I think she was published once in a local newspaper. Mm-hmm.
I think maybe it was at the end. They said something like 11 poems
yes,
were published during her lifetime. She wrote 1,800.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, some that's a lot.
Crazy amount.
Yeah.
But Higginson, he's the Atlantic Monthly editor.
Oh, right.
So he refers to writing, or rather Emily's writing, as women's writing.
Yeah.
And that there's women's writing and then there's writing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking for a specific niche. Like, if he's going to publish a woman, it needs to fit this mold.
Yeah.
And specifically, he brings up Helen Hunt Jackson, who's the first woman author, I guess, or like that was published in the Atlantic Monthly or poet.
I didn't look that up.
No, I didn't either.
That one but, went right by me.
Yeah, but they have this snippet of her poetry, and it is the most boring shit.
Oh, ever. Yeah, that's right.
And it's all about like God fearing, and like, but somehow rhymes.
Yeah, they're all really obsessed with rhymes. They're like, your poetry doesn't rhyme. And Emily's like, I know.
So
yeah.
And
then he like sits down with her in one of her poems, and he's like, it would be better if you did this, and then he just like crosses out everything and like and circles stuff and is like, we need to get rid of this, and she's like, okay, you just ruined the whole poem.
And my favorite thing was of that scene is when I always say my favorite thing or I loved, but mm-hmm. whatever,
it's fine. have a lot of favorite things.
Higginson says about Emily, "She drained my nerve power. I am glad I do not live near her." Because their meeting lasted several hours, and it was just basically Emily talking at him.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And at one point, the clock just keeps going.
That's right. Oh, that scene was so funny.
I was watching it with Erin. She was like, oh, my God, that's me when I'm talking.
I also loved when that judge who was like, maybe he was like a friend of Emily's father or something, and he was like maybe kind of courting her. Oh, and yeah. He was like, I really love the Austen books. And she's like, oh really, which one is your favorite? And then he says something, he like mashes two titles together, and then she's like, what story are you talking about? And he's like, you know, the one where, and then he just makes up something, and she's like, oh right, that Austen story. It's just so funny.
It's just, yeah, like we said, the comedy is super understated. Mm-hmm. But I will say towards the end, I did get pretty sad.
Me too. I actually thought the last scene was extremely moving.
Yes.
Where, so Emily, spoiler alert, well, obviously, she dies.
She's dead, y'all!
And I had to look up what killed her, because I thought maybe she had died of suicide, I wasn't sure, but then it seemed like that wasn't it, and it was quote-unquote Bright's disease, which I guess is an outdated term, but it's like basically kidney failure.
Oh shit.
According to Wikipedia. But Lavinia,
so she probably had like cancer.
Yeah, or I don't know, something
like that.
But Lavinia asked Sue to wash Emily's body.
Yeah.
And she did, and it was a very intimate scene. Like, Emily's dead body is there mm-hmm. on the bed, and Sue is just very lovingly, carefully wiping it down. Mm-hmm. And then it's juxtaposed next to this scene
with
Mabel, where she's erasing Sue from Emily's poems. And yep. So all you hear is the eraser, and then you hear, like, the stroking of the sponge,
like,
or whatever.
Sponge on skin, yeah. Essentially. Yeah, it was, it like gave me chills.
Me too.
Yeah, that juxtaposition of she's dying and mm-hmm. the spirit of our poetry is being erased mm-hmm. at the same time. I thought that was.
And Sue is amazing. Performing this like extremely important ritual. Yeah. Meanwhile, she herself is being erased from
yeah.
Emily's life and art.
Mm hmm.
Oh, God. My heart.
I felt like Lavinia played a really big role in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of an odd duck, too.
Yeah. She was funny with her cat.
She loves her cat so much.
She also had a cat named Emily Dickinson. Actually, her conversation with Austen was, I think, the funniest part of the whole movie.
It's like they didn't talk like they were brother and sister.
No, it was hilarious. Austen was like, Mabel really wants to meet Emily. Can you arrange to have that happen? And Lavinia's just like,
yes,
I have a cat named Emily.
My cat's
named she
Emily
goes,
Dickinson.
Does Mabel know that Emily is a human? Because I have a cat named Emily. And if she met my cat, Emily, she would be meeting Emily Dickinson.
It was very goofy.
Yeah.
But the fact that she, maybe she didn't know that, I guess Emily and Susan were, for all intents and purposes, like partners mm-hmm. and a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But she gave that ritual over to someone other than, I guess she is technically family, but you know,
yeah.
like a sister, a blood mm-hmm. sister didn't do it. Her mm-hmm. sister-in-law did.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure. I don't remember, and I don't think it's even stated why she does that.
No, it's not. I was confused, too. It could have been, like, a kind of gift gesture, or
that's
it could have...
That's what I thought.
It could have also been, like, I don't want to do this, so you do it.
I wasn't sure.
I
think it might have been she was too... It was either she was too distraught to do it,
mm-hmm.
or it was, like, I know you're the one mm-hmm. who's cared for her the most.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to care for her, please.
Yeah.
Um, I'm just so pleased by Martha too. So it ends with really Martha's.
I guess that scene wasn't the very last scene.
Well,
I can't
it's kind of like Martha's part is like part of the credits. I feel like, you know, it's more like, okay, here's what happened after after her death. But yeah, it ends with Martha's contribution to helping restore the memory of Emily and her mother. It's just so touching.
It's touching.
I really like this film.
I do too. I thought it was so good. It was like,
It was very good. Yeah. I was, because I love Molly Shannon, I just assumed it was going to be a comedy.
Yeah.
Like, from the very beginning. So, the end kind of threw me for a loop. Mm-hmm. So, spoiler alert. It will be just a little bit of a downer. But, like, duh, she dies. But it was still so artfully done and beautiful.
And there was a lot of humor in it.
Oh, yeah. So. It's still very funny. Final thoughts?
I don't know. I just love it. I think you should watch it for sure. This is the best movie we've watched in a really long time.
Yes, I agree. Do you have any book recommendations?
Ooh.
About body washing.
Body washing.
About sister-in-law's doing it.
No.
Mediocre dudes.
I can tell you the last book I read that I liked. I'm reading one right now that I don't like, but I'm not gonna like go into that.
Don't be rude.
I know. This book called Under the Rainbow by Celia Lasky. It has nothing to do with this movie whatsoever.
Sounds
but
gay.
It is very gay. It's just like, it's also very cinematic and a super fast read. And it's also really funny and touching. So I guess in that way, it's kind of like this movie where it has both of those elements. And it's about this town that's like labeled the most homophobic town in America. And it's like this fictional town in Kansas.
Oh, God.
And this organization called Acceptance Across America like sends a task force of queer people to be there for 2 years. It's like the premise is ridiculous, but it just is so funny and also very moving. I legit cried in public. I finished this book in a coffee shop.
I was gonna say, is this the one that you put on
yes
on your Instagram?
Yeah. I legit was crying at the end because I was so moved by it, and I was like, how did this happen? How did I get so emotional over this book? But anyway, it's told from the perspective of like 12 different characters, so each chapter is a different point of view. And man, it was just really well written. I was impressed. It was a debut novel.
Good.
Impressed.
Wonderful.
Yeah. That's Under the Rainbow by Celia Lasky. Comes out. It'll probably be out by the time this podcast is out. I can't remember the date, but I think March 3rd.
Oh, yeah.
Well, oh, yeah. So that's in like 2 days.
It's March, y'all.
It's March.
This movie really made me think about, you know, the deep shit, like how I want to be remembered, you know, because it leaves you with that intense scene, that juxtaposition of a dead person and how they will be remembered. And I know it's not so easy to edit someone these days. It's a little bit more than just erasing pencil on paper. But yeah, it made me kind of like take stock in what I value and who I value and kind of what I want to do and how I want to be.
Yeah. Oh, you went deep.
I did. but it's true because, I mean, I don't shit about Emily Dickinson. But
yeah.
I mean, now I know a lot more than I did. Mm-hmm. But it's just one of those things where it's like it went in a way so poorly for her.
In some ways, in
the way that she was this whole part of her life was forgotten about.
Yes.
And I don't necessarily want that to happen. And it's interesting, just makes me think about how I live my life. And it also encourages me to, like, be out and proud and, like, continue the, you know, awesome fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aw.
You're funny.
We got serious for a minute.
Ugh, never again. All right. Well, if you saw this or you are an Emily Dickinson fanatic and want to correct us.
If you want to write an essay about the differences between this movie and the Apple TV show Dickinson, which was really not good in my opinion.
Or this. That'd be dope.
Yeah.
I would probably read it. I'm all about them facts.
Yeah.
Receipts. Show me them.
Yes.
You can email us at galpalswatch@gmail.com.
You can tweet us at galpalswatch.
And Instagram at galpalswatch, which I need to update. Oops. Well, anyway, it's been a pleasure.
A total pleasure.
Pleasure as always, Sarah. Pleasure.
We like pleasure.
Pleasure?
Gay pleasure.
Pleasure for your ears.
ASMR.
ASMR. Have you seen that?
Gay ASMR.
Have you seen that Gillian Anderson ASMR for sex education?
No.
Oh my God.
Is it on YouTube?
I don't know, but it made me even gay.